mean having to embrace them. You're too immature and weak-hearted to use them the way they're meant to be used. You're scared of what that would make you. I looked away. Ruby, don't you get it? You hate what you are, but you were given these abilities for a reason. We both were. It's our right to use them. We have to use them to stay ahead, to keep the others in their place. His finger caught the stretched-out collar of my shirt and gave it a tug. Stop it. I was proud of how steady my voice was. As Clancy leaned in, he slipped a hazy image beneath my closed eyes. The two of us, just before he walked into my memories. My stomach knotted as I watched my eyes open in terror, his lips pressed against mine. I'm so glad we found each other, he said, voice oddly calm. You can help me. I thought I knew everything, but you... My elbow flew up and clipped him under the chin. Clancy stumbled back with a howl of pain, pressing both hands to his face. I had half a second to get the hell out, and I took it, twisting the handle of the door so hard that the lock popped itself out. Ruby! Wait, I didn't mean... A face appeared at the bottom of the stairs. Lizzie. I saw her lips part in surprise, her many earrings jangling as I shoved past her. Just an argument, I heard Clancy say weakly. It's fine, just let her go. I burst outside, completely out of breath. My feet were drawn toward the fire pit, but I forced myself to stop and reconsider. There were so many people still out, gathered around the food tables. I wanted to find Liam and explain why I hadn't been there, to tell him what had happened. But I knew I was a mess. I needed to calm down, and there was no way I could do it here. There were too many potential questions. I needed to be alone. So, of course, when I backed up a few steps, I managed to walk right into Mike. Hey, there you are! His hair was pulled back into a ponytail, a black bandana tied around his head. I could smell gasoline on him and something metallic. Ruby? You okay? I bolted, heading past the office, down the path to the cabins. Eventually, I found what I thought was the path we had walked Zoo out on, but it turned out to be nothing more than an old side trail, overgrown and unforgiving to bare skin. Fine. It would do. There was no one around. That was my only criterion. I walked until I lost the light from the fire pit, clawing at my t-shirt, trying to pull it away from my skin. It smelled like his room, like evergreens and spice and old decaying things. I pulled it over my head and threw it as hard and far as I could. And still, I couldn't shake the smell. It was everywhere, my hands, my jeans, my bra. I should have run straight for the lake or even the showers. I should have tried to soak his venom out. Calm down, I thought. Calm down. But I couldn't pick apart exactly what was pulsing through me. Anger, for sure, that I had been lied to, that I had fallen for it. Disgust for the way he had touched me and invaded even the pores of my skin. But something else, too. An ache inside of me that expanded and twisted, turning me to stone. Liam was standing right in front of me, and I had never felt so alone. Ruby? His hair was pale silver in this light, curled and tangled in its usual way. I couldn't hide from him. I had never been able to. Mike came and got me, he said, taking a careful step toward me. His hands were out in front of him, as if trying to coax a wild animal into letting him approach. What are you doing out here? What's going on? Please just go, I begged. I need to be alone. He kept coming straight at me. Please, I shouted. Go away! I'm not going anywhere until you tell me what's going on, Liam said. He got a better look at me and swallowed, his Adam's apple bobbing. Where were you this morning? Did something happen? Chubbs told me you've been gone all day, and now you're out here like... this. Did he do something to you? I looked away. Nothing I didn't ask for. Liam's only response was to move back a few paces, giving me space. I don't believe you for a second, he said calmly. Not one damn second. If you want to get rid of me, you're going to have to try harder than that. I don't want you here. He shook his head. Doesn't mean I'm leaving you here alone. You can take all the time you want, as long as you need. But you and me, we're having this out tonight, right now. Liam pulled his black sweater over his head and threw it toward me. Put it on or you'll catch a cold. I caught it with one hand and pressed it to my chest. It was still warm. He began to pace, his hands on his hips. Is it me? Is it that you can't talk to me about it? Do you want me to go get Chubbs? I couldn't bring myself to answer. Ruby, you're scaring the hell out of me. Good. I balled up his sweater and threw it into the darkness as hard as I could. He blew out a shaky sigh, bracing a hand against the nearest tree. Good? What's good about it? I hadn't really understood what Clancy had been trying to tell me that night. Not until right then, when Liam looked up and his eyes met mine. The trickle of blood in my ears turned into a roar. I squeezed my eyes shut, digging the heels of my palms against my forehead. I can't do this anymore, I cried. Why won't you just leave me alone? Because you would never leave me. His feet shuffled through the underbrush as he took a few steps closer. The air around me heated, taking on a charge I recognized. I gritted my teeth, furious with him for coming so close when he knew I couldn't handle it, when he knew I could hurt him. His hands came up to pull mine away from my face, but I wasn't about to let him be gentle. I shoved him back, throwing my full weight into it. Liam stumbled. Ruby! I pushed him again and again, harder each time, because it was the only way I could tell him what I was desperate to say. I saw bursts of his glossy memories. I saw all of his brilliant dreams. It wasn't until I knocked his back into a tree that I realized I was crying. Up this close, I saw a new cut under his left eye and the bruise forming around it. Liam's lips parted. His hands were no longer out in front of him, but hovering over my hips. Ruby. I closed what little distance was left between us, one hand sliding through his soft hair, the other gathering the back of his shirt into my fist. When my lips finally pressed against his, I felt something coil deep inside of me. There was nothing outside of him, not even the grating of cicadas, not even the gray-bodied trees. My heart thundered in my chest. More, 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 a steady beat. His body relaxed under my hands, shuddering at my touch. Breathing him in wasn't enough. I wanted to inhale him. The leather, the smoke, the sweetness. I felt his fingers counting up my bare ribs. Liam shifted his legs around mine to draw me closer. I was off balance on my toes, the world swaying dangerously under me as his lips traveled to my cheek, to my jaw, to where my pulse throbbed in my neck. He seemed so sure of himself, like he had already plotted out this course. I didn't feel it happen, the slip. Even if I had, I was so wrapped up in him that I couldn't imagine pulling back or letting go of his warm skin or that moment. His touch was feather-light, stroking my skin with a kind of reverence. But the instant his lips found mine again, a single thought was enough to rocket me out of the honey-sweet haze. The memory of Clancy's face as he had leaned in to do exactly what Liam was doing now suddenly flooded my mind, twisting its way through me until I couldn't ignore it, until I was seeing it play out glossy and burning like it was someone else's memory and not mine. And then I realized I wasn't the only one seeing it. Liam was seeing it too. How? How? That wasn't possible, was it? Memories flowed to me, not from me. But I felt him grow still, then pull back. And I knew by the look on his face that he had seen it. Air filled my chest. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I didn't want... Liam caught one of my wrists and pulled me back to him, his hands cupping my cheeks. I wondered which one of us was breathing harder as he brushed my hair from my face. I tried to squirm away, ashamed of what he'd seen, and afraid of what he'd think of me. When Liam spoke, it was in a measured, would-be calm voice. What did he do? Nothing. Don't lie, he begged. Please don't lie to me. I felt it, my whole body. God, it was like being turned to stone. You were scared. I felt it. You were scared. His fingers came up and wove through my hair, bringing my face close to his again. I started. He asked to see a memory, and I let him, but when I tried to move away, I couldn't get out, I couldn't move, and then I blacked out. I don't know what he did, but it hurt. It hurt so much. Liam pulled back and pressed his lips to my forehead. I felt the muscles in his arms strain, shake. Go to the cabin. He didn't let me protest. Start packing. Lee. I'm going to find Chubbs, he said, and the three of us are getting the hell out of here tonight. We can't, I said. You know we can't. But he was already crashing back through the dark path. Lee! I went back to find his sweater and pulled it on, but not even that could keep away the chill as I followed him out of the woods, back in the direction of the cabin and fire pit. When I got to the cabin, Chubbs was already there, propped up on his bed, reading. He took one look at me and snapped his book shut. What in the world happened? We're leaving, I told him. Get your things. What are you staring at? Move! He jumped down off the bed. Are you okay? He asked. What's going on? I had only just finished telling him everything that had happened with Clancy when Liam came bursting through the door. He took one look at the two of us together and let out a shaky breath. I got worried when I couldn't find you, he told Chubbs. Are you ready? I pulled on a baggy t-shirt and took Liam's jacket when he threw it to me. Chubbs tied up his shoes, snapped his suitcase shut, and didn't put in a word of protest as we switched off the cabin lights and headed out into the darkness. The smell of smoke from the fire pit followed us down the main trail longer than the light or the voices from it. I caught Chubbs looking back toward it over his shoulder, just once, the distant orange glow reflected in the lenses of his glasses. I knew he wanted to ask what we would do next, but Liam hushed us both and started down a side trail that I had never seen before. It was well worn, but narrow enough that we had to walk single file. I kept my eyes on Liam's shoulders until he reached back to take my hand. The trail grew darker the farther we walked into the thick layers of young trees. And then we were out, and there was light, so much of it, that for a moment I had to hold up a hand to cover my eyes. I felt Liam tense and stop, his hand tightening around mine until it hurt.
Told you, I heard Hayes say. Told you he'd try to get out this way.
Yes. Good call.
Damn,
I heard Chubbs swear behind me, but I was too shocked to do anything other than step out from behind Liam and see where Clancy, Hayes, and the cluster of boys from Watch stood blocking our only way out. 27. There was a single moment when no one moved at all. I recognized where we were now that the area was lit up with flashlights and lanterns. I had seen it once before on Clancy's computer screen. This is where, days before, the skip tracers had tried to slip through the camp's wire fences, and Hayes had taken care of them, much like how he seemed poised to take care of us now. The boys in front of us stood where the path met the silver wire marking East River's boundaries. Clancy was at the center, looking infinitely more pulled together than he had a few short hours ago.
I think we need to have a talk, Clancy said, his voice pleasant. It seems like something dangerous is about to happen.
We're heading out, Liam said, the anger in his voice barely contained, and we don't want trouble.
You can't just go.
Hayes pushed his way to the front of the group, looming at Clancy's side like a cannon waiting to be aimed.
We have a system here, and you haven't earned your keep yet.
The words had just left his mouth when we heard the sound of footsteps and voices crashing through the dried brush of the other, bigger trail behind them. Olivia appeared first, followed by Mike and four of the other kids Liam had been working alongside the past month. They reacted the exact way we had, first cringing away from the light, then stopping short in shock.
"What's going on?" Olivia demanded, cutting around the line of kids in black until she was standing right in front of Clancy. Why didn't you radio me?
Hayes and I have it under control.
Clancy crossed his arms over his chest.
You should head back to your posts.
Not until you tell me what's happening.
She whirled around to face us, taking in our bags.
Are you leaving?
Lee,
Mike said, making the connection at the same time.
What are you doing?
It seems that Liam Stewart is staging another breakout, Clancy said, or at least was attempting to. Looks like it'll be just as successful as the last.
Go to hell, I cut in, grabbing Liam's arm before he could have a go at Clancy.
He was shaking with anger, but we were outnumbered. Didn't he see that?
Ruby,
Clancy said quietly, with all of the familiarity of the kid I had thought was my friend. Come on, can we at least talk things through?
Yes, a voice whispered in my ear. Wouldn't that be for the best?
The tightly wound anger in my chest began to unravel, slowly at first, then in a strange, cool rush. My fingers slid from Liam's. All of a sudden, it did seem like talking was the best option. The only option. I had been so angry and afraid before, but this was Clancy. It was Clancy. I took a step toward him, toward that smile. I could forgive him, couldn't I? It would be easy. Everything with Clancy was easier. My feet moved on their own, knowing exactly where I needed to go, where I was supposed to go. But Liam didn't let me, and Chubbs wasn't about to either. I felt the latter's hands grab my backpack. The moment Liam stepped back in front of me, Clancy disappeared from sight, and I couldn't remember why it had felt so important to go to him, to let him walk me back to camp.
Stop it!
Liam yelled. Whatever you're doing to her, stop it!
He's not...
Mike began, looking between Liam and Olivia. I saw her just beyond Liam's shoulders, her face a grim mask. Behind them, the other kids from Liam's watch detail were abuzz, unsure of where to look.
I'm not doing anything, Clancy said, his voice taking on an edge of ice. You're the one that's jealous of the relationship she and I have.
The boys around him began to nod in agreement, their faces strangely expressionless.
You're the one that's trying to break the rules here, he continued, because it is a rule, isn't it, Liv? If you want to leave, you have to ask me, right?
She hesitated, but nodded. Liam's arm dropped in front of me slowly. His brows drew together, and he seemed to incline his head toward Clancy, as if listening to something the rest of us couldn't hear. I felt, rather than saw, the tension leave the lines of his shoulders. He took a step back, and then another away from me, one hand going to his forehead.
Sorry, I didn't mean...
You're happy here, aren't you? Clancy asked pleasantly.
There's no reason why you can't go back to feeling that way. There are rules here. You know them now, and you won't break them again, will you?
No, Liam said, his voice hoarse. He was staring at me, but his eyes had taken on a milky quality that I recognized at once, and so, apparently, did Chubbs. His own eyes narrowed, zeroing in on Clancy with pure, razor-sharp fury.
Let me tell you what I think about your fucking rules, he said, his voice dripping with venom as he pushed past Liam. You sit up in your room, and you pretend like you want what's best for everyone. But you don't do any of the work yourself. I can't tell if you're just a spoiled little shit, or if you're too worried about getting your pretty princess hands dirty, but it sucks. You are fucking awful, and you sure as hell don't have me fooled.
The full force of Clancy's cold gaze fell on Chubbs, but he went on, undaunted.
You talk about us all being equals, like we're one big happy rainbow of peace and all that bullshit, but you never once believed that yourself, did you? You won't let anyone contact their parents, and you don't care about the kids who are still trapped in camps your father set up. You wouldn't even listen when the watch kids brought it up. So what I want to know is, why can't we leave?
He took another step forward, cutting off Clancy before he could start speaking.
What's the point of this place? Other than for you to get off on how great you are and toy with people and their feelings. I know what you did to Ruby.
The others stood by in silence, but the longer Chubbs spoke, the clearer their eyes became. Mike, in particular, shook off Clancy's influence with a look like he was about to be sick. The other kids' eyes flicked around, nervous and unsure. Clancy had been perfectly still the entire time. Chubbs had torn into him. But now that Chubbs was finished, Clancy leaned in close, as if he were about to whisper a secret to him. Only when he spoke, his voice was loud enough for us all to hear.
I toyed with more than her feelings. His eyes flicked to Liam's face. Didn't I, Stuart?
The sweep of furious crimson that washed up over Liam's throat to his face was enough to tell me exactly what kind of image Clancy had pushed into his head.
Don't!
I screamed, but it was too late for that. What happened next passed so fast that half of the people gathered there must have missed it. Liam raised his fist, ready to launch it into Clancy's smug face, but his hand got no farther than his shoulder. Every part of him, every muscle, every joint, every sinew, went bored straight, like he had received a great electric jolt. He froze, and a breath later, he was on the ground and Hayes's fists were slamming into his face.
Stop, I begged, ripping free of Chubb's grip.
I knew what Clancy had done to him, and why he couldn't even raise a hand to protect his face. I saw a spray of blood hit the dirt, and it was more than I could take. It was more than any of us could take.
Clance, I heard Olivia say. That's enough. You made your point.
Hayes, you'll kill him!
Again and again and again, on whatever surface of skin he could find, Hayes drove his fist into Liam, like he could pound his fury into him. The blows didn't stop until Clancy put a hand on his shoulder, and even then, Hayes made sure to get one last punch in across the face. He heaved Liam up by the front of his shirt, and when Clancy nodded to him, Hayes slammed Liam back against the ground and stood up, leaving him a limp mess of raw skin, face down in the dirt. The moment the two of them were out of sight, Chubbs and I both lurched forward, pushing through the circle of kids that closed around Liam. We got maybe 2 steps before Mike blocked us from going farther.
Don't, he said. You'll only make it worse.
What are they going to do to him? Chubbs said.
Go back to your cabin, he told us. We'll take care of him.
No, I said. We're not leaving without him. Mike rounded on me.
I don't know what the hell you said to him or made him think, but Lee was happy here. This is exactly what he needed, and you've screwed him over.
Don't you dare,
Chubbs snapped.
Don't you dare blame her for this. Your head is so far up the slip kid's ass you can't see anything that's going on around you.
Mike bared his teeth.
We all put up with you at Caledonia because Liam asked us to, but I don't have to do that here.
Whatever, Chubbs said. Do you think I care about that? The only thing I care about is what's going to happen to Lee. You know, the one that put everything on the line to get us out in the first place.
His words had the desired effect. Mike paled in the darkness.
You can have your stupid slip, kid. But don't expect us to let you keep Lee.
We threw ourselves forward again, trying to claw our way through to reach him. A pair of arms wrapped around my chest, another around my legs, and it didn't matter how hard or loud we were screaming, the kids dragged us away from Liam all the same. Chubbs and I sat on Liam's bunk, not speaking, not moving, not doing anything but watching the cabin door. Through the windows we saw curious faces, gawkers and guards alike, all trying to figure out exactly what had happened. Lights out had come and gone, but it wasn't like either of us was going to be able to sleep. Judging by the two figures in black standing directly in front of our door, it didn't seem like we'd be able to leave either. Not after our failed escape attempt, and certainly not after Chubbs had rained down a verbal hailstorm on Clancy.
Where did you learn to talk like that? I finally asked, but he only shrugged.
I tried to imagine what Lee would have said, and went from there.
Chubbs rubbed the top of his head.
Did I really say he had pretty princess hands?
I let out a strangled laugh. All that and more. The seconds ticked by at half the speed of my thoughts.
Why weren't you affected? I wondered aloud. He did try it on you, didn't he?
He tried. I definitely felt it.
Little did he know.
Chubbs tapped his forehead.
Steel trap. Nothing gets out or in.
I had a fleeting thought that what he was saying could very well be true, and that it might even explain why his was the only head I had managed to avoid slipping into. But we heard a loud shuffle of steps on the path, and everything else flew straight out of my head. Olivia and another kid came stumbling in, one of Liam's arms over each of their shoulders. His face was turned down, and I could see where mud had caked into his hair. The rain had started about an hour after we had left him.
"Lee," Chubbs was saying, trying to get him to rouse. "Lee, can you hear me?"
We helped them lay him out on the futon. It was dark enough in the room that I didn't see the extent of his beating until Olivia set a flashlight lantern down on the floor beside him.
"Oh, my God," I said.
Liam's face turned in my direction, and for the first time, I realized he was actually awake. His eyes were swollen shut. I let my hand fall on the arm hanging off the side of the futon and moved it so it was across his chest. The breath escaped his lips in wheezing sighs. There was a thick layer of gummy, dried blood caked around his nose, his mouth, down to even his chin. Daylight would reveal the rest of the bruises.
"He needs antiseptic," Chubb said. "Bandages, something."
"If you two come with me," Olivia replied, "I'll walk you to the supply room. No one will be out to bother us."
"I'm not going to leave him," I said, still crouched beside Liam on my knees.
"It's all right."
I barely felt Chubb's hand on my shoulder as he brushed by. The screen door creaked open and shut behind us. I waited until I heard the shuffling footsteps of the other kid follow them out before I looked back down at Liam's face. I moved my fingers, feather light across his face, as gently as I could. When I came to his nose, he let out a sharp hiss, but he didn't try to twist away until I brushed his swollen, split lip. I don't know if I had ever cried as much as I had in the past month. I had never been like the other girls in my cabin at Thurmond, who cried every night, and then again every morning when they realized their nightmare had been real. I wasn't even a crier as a kid, but there was no way to hold them back now.
"Do I look as pretty as I feel?"
His words were slurred. I tried to get him to open his mouth, to make sure all of his teeth were still there, but his jaw was too tender for me to touch it. I leaned forward to press my lips against where my hands had been.
"Don't,"
he said, one eye just barely cracked open.
"Not unless you mean it."
"You shouldn't have gone after him."
"Had to,"
he managed to mumble out. "I'll kill him," I said, anger flaring up inside of me. "I'll kill him." Liam started to chuckle again.
"Ah, there she is. There's Ruby."
"I'll get you out of here," I promised. "You and Chubbs. I'll talk to Clancy. I'll..."
"No,"
he said.
"Stop. It'll make things worse."
"How could things possibly get any worse?" I asked. "I messed everything up for you. I ruined everything."
"God."
He shook his head, mouth twisting into a shadow of a smile.
"Did you know, you make me so happy that sometimes I actually forget to breathe? I'll be looking at you, and my chest will get so tight. And it's like the only thought in my head is how much I want to reach over and kiss you."
He blew out a shaky breath.
"So don't talk about getting me out of here, because I'm not leaving. Not unless you're part of the package, too."
"I can't go with you," I said. "I won't put you in that kind of danger."
"Bull," he said. "Nothing's going to be worse than being apart."
"You don't understand."
"Then make me," Liam said. "Ruby, give me one reason why we can't be together, and I'll give you 100 why we can.
We can go anywhere you want. I'm not your parents. I'm not going to abandon you or send you away. Not ever." They didn't abandon me. What happened to them was my fault. The secret had slipped out of me like a long exhale, and I'm not sure which of us was more surprised by the admission. Liam settled into silence, waiting for me to continue. It occurred to me then that this was it. This was really the moment I was going to lose him. and all I could think about was how much I wished I had kissed him one last time before he started fearing me for what I was. I leaned my head down on the cushion beside his. In a whisper, because I wasn't brave enough to say it any louder, I told him about going to bed the night before my 10th birthday, about how I woke up expecting my usual birthday pancakes, about the way they locked me in the garage like some wild animal. And when that story was over, I told him about Sam, how I had been her Chubbs until I wasn't, until I was nothing at all. My throat burned when I was finished. Liam turned his face toward mine. We weren't even a breath apart. Never, he said after a while. Never, never, never. I am never going to forget you. You won't have a choice, I said. Clancy said I won't ever be able to control it.
Well, I think he's full of it, Liam said.
Listen, what I saw in the woods when you... When I kissed you?
Right. That really happened, didn't it? What that asshole did. That happened to you. He kept you there frozen, like he did to me.
Yes, but also no, because a small part of me had wanted Clancy to do it. Or had he only made me want him, played my emotions with a single touch? I nodded, finally, my insides still squirming with the revulsion at the memory of his skin against mine. Come here, said Liam softly. I felt his fingers' light touch run along the crown of my head, feather soft, as they came down to cup my cheek. When I lifted my face, he met me halfway and kissed me. I was careful not to touch his face, only his shoulder and arm. When he pulled back, I seemed to follow, my lips searching for his.
You want to be with me, right?
He whispered.
Then be with me. We'll figure it out. If nothing else, I trust you. You can look inside my head, and that's all you'll see.
His warm breath spread over my cheek like another kiss.
Mike worked it out. He's going to try and find a way to sneak us out. And then you, me, and Chubbs, we're going to hit the road. We're going to find Jack's father. We're going to find a way for Chubbs to reach his parents. And then we're going to talk about what we want to do.
I leaned over and pressed a kiss to his forehead. You really don't hate me? I breathed out. You're not scared, not even a little? His battered face twisted with what I thought was supposed to be a smile.
I'm scared to death of you, but for a completely different reason.
I'm a monster, you know. I'm one of the dangerous ones.
No, you aren't, he promised. You're one of us.
Chubbs returned a few minutes after Liam faded into a restless sleep. He stirred again when we began cleaning the cuts and gouges on his face, reaching for my hand at the first touch of stinging antiseptic. When I felt his grip begin to relax and saw his eyelids flutter shut again, I finally released the breath I had been holding.
He'll live, Chubbs said, seeing my expression.
He was stuffing away the rest of the supplies in my backpack.
He'll have a wicked headache in the morning, but he'll live.
We took turns sleeping, or at least pretending to. My body was thrumming with anxious, unspent energy, and I could hear Chubbs muttering to himself, as if trying to work through the night's events. And then came the sound of feet slapping against the concrete steps of the cabin once more, and we gave up pretending altogether.
Lizzie, I heard one of the boys outside our door say, are you...
She pushed past them, throwing the screen door open so hard that it slammed against the wall. Liam startled awake, more confused and disoriented than he'd been before.
Ruby!
Lizzie was looking straight at me, her face ashen. Her hair had caught in her dozens of piercings, but it was the blood on her hands that stopped the flow of blood to my head.
It's Clancy, she gasped, clutching my arms. He just fell and started shaking all over like crazy and bleeding, and I didn't know what to do. But he told me to get you because you'd know what was going on. Ruby, please, please help me.
I stared at her hands, the wet blood.
It's a trick, Liam croaked from the futon.
Ruby, don't you dare.
If he's really hurt, I should go, Chubbs told Lizzie.
Ruby, she cried, like she couldn't believe I was standing there. There was so much blood. Ruby, please, please, you have to help him.
He really thought I was stupid, didn't he? Or did he just think his influence extended that far, that I could ever forget what he had done to Liam and go rushing to his side? I shook my head, anger rippling over my skin. Too immature and weak-hearted to use my abilities, was I? We'd see about that. Liam pushed himself up into a sitting position. You know him, he was saying. Don't do it, don't. Show me where he is, I said over Chubb's protests. I turned to him. You have to stay with Liam, understand? You have to watch him, because I can't. I'll take care of everything. I would get us out. Not Mike, not a burst of random luck. I would get us out. And seeing Clancy's face slack with my influence would be well worth the effort it would take to break into his mind. Hadn't he taught me everything I needed to know to do it? Ruby, I heard Liam say, but I took Lizzie's arm and guided her outside, past the confused kids, past the cabins. Outside, the temperature had dropped almost 20 degrees. Fat tears dripped down her chin. He's in storage. We were talking about... It's okay, I told her, putting an awkward hand on her back. We ran through the garden and up the office's back steps. She fumbled to put her key in the lock, only to have it jam. I had to kick it in. Lizzie was too far gone to do anything but sprint inside. The hall and the kitchen were empty. The whole building smelled like garlic and tomato sauce. Everyone must have been out setting up for dinner. Everyone except Clancy, who stood in the middle of the storage room, leaning against a shelf of macaroni boxes. Lizzie ran to the back right corner of the room and dropped to her knees. She pawed at the ground, her trembling hands clutching only air.
Clancy, she cried. Clancy, can you hear me? Ruby is here now. Ruby, come here.
My stomach turned violently, and I was surprised by how sad it made me feel to have my worst suspicions confirmed. Why does it have to be like this? I thought, looking at him. Why?
You came. You really came, Clancy said in a bored, flat voice.
He sounded like he was reciting the words from a script. Thank you, Ruby. I appreciate your help in my hour of need.
Why are you just standing there? Lizzie wailed. Help him!
You're sick, I said, shaking my head. Clancy came toward me, but I moved to the opposite end of the room where Lizzie had her face buried in the ground. Stop it. I'm here. There's no reason to keep torturing her. I'm not torturing her, Clancy said. I'm just playing around. And then, as if to prove his point, he barked, Liz, shut up. She stopped mid-gasp. A trickle of blood escaped her lip from where she had bitten it. I took her hands, turning them over. The blood was coming from her, from two neat cuts across her palms. What do you even want? I asked, whirling around. I've told you everything, and what I didn't say you went ahead and saw. It was only then that I noticed what Clancy was wearing. Nice, pressed black slacks, a white button-down shirt without so much as a speck of dust on it, and a red tie, trailing down over his stomach in the exact same way the blood was dripping down Lizzie's chin. I'm just keeping you in here for a little while, he said. Then we can go. And where exactly are we going? My eyes fixed on the shelf behind his head, the one full of metal spoons and mixing bowls. Anywhere you want, he said. Isn't that what that blue promised you? I tried to stay calm, but the way he spat the word out, blue, rankled my already frayed nerves. I don't know if Lizzie sensed the sharp change in my mood, but Clancy did. He was smiling, that perfect gray smile, the same one that had followed me across Thurman's grounds. Good, I thought. Let him think I'm helpless. Let him think that there was no real threat from me, not until he was flat down on the ground, unable to even remember his own name. Do you have a better offer? I asked. What if I did? I'd find that hard to believe, I said, inching closer, trying to distract him. Considering you care so little about me, If the situation had been reversed, you wouldn't have come running, would you have?
He shrugged. I would have come. I just would have walked.
Please let Lizzie go, I said. It scared me the way she was acting like a little kid. What was it about being orange that turned people into such monsters?
Why? If she stays, you won't think about trying anything, because it might mean her getting hurt. Or worse.
He said it so casually that I actually thought he was kidding. How can you be sure? I hoped my voice sounded stronger than it felt in my throat.
I don't know her that well.
I've seen your memories. You're what shrinks call overly empathetic. You won't do anything if it means hurting others, not intentionally, at least. He said it with the utmost confidence, which made the shock on his face when I lunged at him that much sweeter. For once, he hadn't predicted my response, hadn't pulled me under his sway. I slashed across his face, heard him grunt as my nails bit into his cheek. The connection was instant and powerful. It seemed that some part of what he had said was true after all. I needed to want to use my abilities. I had to want to have control over them. And God, did I want to. I wanted to tear his brain to shreds. The images that churned up from the dark waters of his head were so unlike what I had seen before. Instead of the bright glare and the sharp, controlled edges, they were sketched in a kind of watery charcoal, unfocused, fuzzy. I saw faces, bloated and distorted, rise up from the murky surface. His mind had gone limp. I felt like I could reach both hands up and reshape him. "Let her go," I said, my grip on his throat tightening. I threw the image of him sending Lizzie away, and a moment later he was mumbling the words, "Lizzie, go outside." She bolted for the door, and I felt a thrill run through me. He was shaking under my hands, his eyes blinking, but I held on to him. "Now," I said, "now you're going to let us go too." But even as the words left my mouth, I felt the unraveling. I gripped harder, my fingers digging into his skin. "Not yet," I begged. "Not yet. I need to. As quickly as I had slipped in, I was thrown out, and that damn white curtain swept between us. I tried to throw myself at it again, but Clancy's hand lashed out to snatch my wrist, and I felt every muscle in my body thicken to stone.
"Nice try."
Clancy let me fall to the ground like a board, and actually stepped over me to examine his scratched cheek in a pot's reflective surface.
"Didn't even draw blood."
I couldn't even move my jaw to tell him off.
"Good to see my lessons were of some benefit to you," Clancy snarled, raking a hand through his disheveled hair.
He turned back to face the shelves, hiding his face, but I saw his hands clench at his side, bunching up the fabric of his pants. I hadn't ruined him, but I had rattled him.
"I like to see my students applying themselves, but don't mistake a few weeks of practice for years of it."
I focused on trying to untangle whatever mental block he had thrown on me. I started with my toes, imagining them moving one by one, and nothing. Maybe I could erase memories, but he could turn people into living stone. The first scream came only a second after I had heard the first whirring engines. An unnatural wind stirred up the trees outside. Their branches scratched against the side of the building, insistent as if to get our attention. I saw Clancy cringe at the high-pitched shriek of sirens too, but he straightened himself up from his core. His face was lit with eagerness, and that's what frightened me most of all.
"That's it, then," he said, brushing his jacket off. "They're finally here."
I couldn't squeeze my eyes shut. The air was burning them, and then the air itself was burning. The telltale smell of smoke filtered in through the open windows. Gunfire, more screaming, more struggling. I imagined myself moving, on my feet and running for the door, to the others, to safety. But I got no farther than a blink. But that was something. I could work with that.
"You're okay," Clancy told me as he sat down next to me. One of his feet began to tap out a rhythm against a stool. "I won't let anything happen to you."
The blood roared in my ears. The kind of yelling that was coming from outside didn't sound human, More like live animals having their skin torn clear off the bone. It sounded like pain and terror and desperation. The pitch of the metallic whine coming through the walls increased in intensity as each minute ticked on. Rabbits need dignity, and above all, the will to accept their fate. I felt rather than heard the footsteps thundering down the hall. I couldn't tell how many there were. They were all moving in perfect time. The storage room door burst open in an explosion of smoke and heat. I had never been so grateful for anything in my life as I was that I was looking at his face when the PSF sparged in. The anticipation there gave way to blank incomprehension, and then to pure, unadulterated rage. Whatever Clancy had been expecting, it wasn't two Psi Special Forces soldiers. He didn't even have to touch them.
"Shut up,"
Clancy hissed, throwing a hand out in their direction. "Get out. Tell your superior that there was no one here." The man in front, his body hidden under layers of fabric and body armor, held a gloved hand against the device in his ear and said in a monotone voice, "Building clear." The signal he gave to the other two was a simple mechanical wave. As they jogged out of the room, I realized that they were the ones that had been letting off the smoke, that the fires had started with them.
"Damn it. God damn it."
Clancy was shaking his head. A fist flew out and smashed into the nearby shelf, its impact drowned out by the rattling of gunfire outside.
"Where are my Reds? Why didn't he send them?"
He brought a bruised knuckle to his lips and began to suck on it, pacing the short length of the room. His breath came out in short bursts and seemed to reflect the rapid turning of his thoughts.
My Reds.
His? The way that he spoke about them left no doubt in my mind what the implication was there. Project Jamboree, his father's program. No, I thought, not his father's. I could see the different shards of the fractured full picture in front of me now. When he had first explained the program, I hadn't known him all that well, or seen what he was capable of doing, not enough to piece together the clues he had unintentionally left for me to uncover. There really wasn't a single person in the world that was immune to his abilities, not even President Gray. Clancy was still stalking across the room like a caged panther, the muscles of his back rippling with each spray of gunfire. Then he stopped, looking up at the windows and the smoke that was swirling against them.
"Who told you, you bastard?"
he said in a low enough voice that I wasn't sure he knew he was speaking aloud. "Which one of them broke my influence and figured it out? I was so careful. So goddamn careful." He turned on his heel and stalked back toward me, and I saw the truth of it all written on his face. The same hand that bled with newly split skin had been the same one to coax his father, his advisors, anyone and everyone it took, to consider Project Jamboree. Hadn't he said that before his father realized he was controlling him, Clancy had had some hand in making sure the program ran smoothly and that the kids were treated well? He clearly could have done more than that. If he had all of East River under his sway, what's to say he couldn't have controlled a small army of Reds, too? Clancy must have seen the realization in my eyes, because he let out a low, humorless laugh. "I forget sometimes, you know, that he's not stupid. Even after he finally figured out I was manipulating him, he never put it together that Project Jamboree came from me. I made sure of it after I escaped. I even left East River to check on them from time to time, to make sure my influence was still there. I timed the leak of East River's location perfectly with the end of their training program." One hand came up to fist in his hair, and there was something breaking in his voice when he spoke again. "I grew up idolizing him. But when I saw what he really was, what he could do to his own son..." His words choked off slightly. "Who was it? Who tipped him off? How would he have known to send the PSFs instead? I should be controlling my Reds right now, and we should all be marching up toward New York to take him down." Clancy bent suddenly, grabbing the front of my shirt and hauling me up from the floor. He shook me, hard enough that I almost bit my tongue clean off.
but he didn't say a single word. The bullets and screams outside didn't touch his stony features or his thoughts. Smoke began to crawl along the floor, rolling, heaving, seizing everything in its path. With no warning, Clancy's hands released my shirt and glided up my shoulders in a lover's caress. His fingers closed around my neck, and I was sure, so damn sure, that he was either going to kiss me in his rage or kill me. More footsteps, lighter than before, but no less urgent. Clancy looked up, annoyance creasing his forehead. I didn't see what happened next, only the aftermath. Clancy went flying back into the shelves, hard enough that there was an audible crack as his head connected with the back wall. His body tore down the shelves of pasta and flour, landing in a messy pile on the floor. Chubb's upside-down face appeared over mine. His glasses were scratched and bent, his face and shirt were stained with soot, but he didn't look like he was hurt.
Ruby? Ruby, can you hear me? We need to run.
Why did he sound so calm? Gunfire roared in my ears, an endless stream of tiny pops and explosions.
Can you move?
I was still too stiff to do anything other than shake my head. Chubbs gritted his teeth and slipped his arms around me, making sure he had a good hold.
Hold on. I'm getting us out of here. Move when you can.
Outside the safety of the office, there was no escaping the noises. My heart lurched to life, pounding against my ribcage. Tear gas and smoke coated the air in thick layers. Everywhere there was fire, on the ground, climbing the trees, dropping onto cabin roofs. My face and chest felt like they had caught too. The wind blew the fire so close to us that Chubbs had to pat my jeans down so I wouldn't go up in flames. He grunted, and I knew he was struggling to keep us going under my weight. I wanted to tell him to drop me, to take the letters in Liam's jacket and run. Liam. Where is Liam? Through the swirling ash, I saw the lines of black uniforms marching the kids from camp down a path to the cabins. I saw a girl thrown out of her cabin and into the dirt, only to be yanked up by her hair. Two kids I recognized from the camp's security detail raised their guns at the PSFs, who blew them away in a cloud of fire.
Stop where you are.
The air was knocked from my chest as Chubbs dropped me to throw that same soldier up into a tree. When his arms circled my chest again, we were moving faster than before. And then we were falling, tumbling down the hill. Chubbs let out a surprised croak as we rolled, picking up brush and embers along the way. The back of my hand smacked against a tree, but I couldn't see where we were going. The smoke blinded me. I came to a slow stop at the base of the hill, sinking face first in the muddy bank. My hands and legs all convulsed as the feeling began to return to them. I felt hands on the back of my jacket. Chubbs dragged me on my back, choking and coughing.
We are going to die. We are going to die. We are going to die. Rabbits need to accept their fate. Rabbits need dignity and, above all, the will to accept their fate. Their fate. Their fate. Their fate.
The water was freezing and swallowed me whole. Shock cut straight through my limbs, waking them with a slap. I struggled against the water, flapping my arms to break to the surface. The orange-stained sky was waiting as I broke into the night, coughing up water and poisoned air. Chubbs found me again. One hand clung to a wood post, the other reached out for me.
The dock, I thought. Our dock.
I kicked toward him and let Chubbs draw me under the cover of the old wood. The helicopters flying overhead beat the lake into a frenzy of waves and patterns. I could barely keep my head above the cold water, but I was alert enough to see the searchlights from above dancing over the lake's surface. I kept one arm around Chubb's shoulders and used my free hand to reach up and grab hold of the dock's algae-slick supports. He did the same and waited until the sound of boots and guns had cleared from overhead before whispering,
"Oh my God."
I moved my arm to draw us closer together and hugged him as hard as my muscles could. We didn't dare to speak, but I felt him shake his head. He knew what I was trying to say. I knew what he wanted to ask, and neither of us could find the words to choke out amid the smoke and screams.
29. My legs were half frozen when we were finally brave enough to move. It had been silent for some time, since the sun began to warm the sky. The helicopters disappeared first, then the sound of gunfire. Between the two of us, there was only breathing and whispered fears about what had happened to the others. To Liam.
I don't know, he said. We split up. He could be anywhere.
I had wanted to get us out of the water 2 hours before, but we kept hearing the sound of falling trees and the crackling remnants of the terrible firestorm. My muscles were so stiff that it took me 3 times as long to pull myself onto the dock than it normally would have. Chubbs collapsed beside me, shaking with each cold breeze that slashed over our wet clothes. We crawled our way back up the path, staying low to the ground until we were sure, positive beyond measure, that we were the last ones left. Most of the cabins were gone, piles of charred wood and stone. A few still stood, burned out and hollow or missing their roofs. Ash flew around us like snow, collecting on our hair and sticking to our wet clothes.
We should go to the office, I said. Get inside. We can gather up supplies and then try to go out and search for Lee.
Chubb's feet slowed beside me, and I saw for the first time how red his eyes were.
Ruby.
Don't say it, I warned, my voice sharp. It wasn't an option. Don't. I didn't want to think about Lee. I didn't want to think about Zhu or the other kids who had gotten out of camp. We had to keep moving. If I stopped now, I knew I would never be able to start again. The front rooms were clear. The boxes and tubs had been removed. I forced Chubbs to walk behind me when I slipped into the storage room, but it was empty.
Maybe they got him, Chubbs said, rubbing his head.
I grimaced. When have we ever been that lucky? Upstairs, the bedroom was perfect. Before he left, Clancy had made his bed, put away the stacks of paper and boxes, and, it appeared, dusted. I ripped the white curtain back, joining the two halves of the room while Chubbs fussed with the TV, clicking the power button on and off.
They cut the electricity, he said. Want to bet they cut the water, too?
I collapsed down in Clancy's office chair and pressed my face against the dark wood. Chubbs tried to peel Liam's wet jacket off my shoulders, but I wouldn't let him. Thank you for coming to find me, I said, closing my eyes.
You dumbass, said Chubbs affectionately.
He patted me on the back.
Always running right into trouble.
When I didn't move, I felt his hand still on my shoulder.
Ruby.
Why did he do this? I whispered. Everything in this room reminded me of Clancy, from the smell to the way he had organized the books by color on the shelves. He just threw them all to the wolves. Chubbs squatted down beside me, his knees cracking like an old man's. His hand never left my arm, but he seemed to struggle with what he wanted to say next.
Far be it from me to even approach untangling that hellhole of a mind, he said carefully. But I think he just liked being in control, in charge. It made him feel powerful to manipulate people because he knew outside of this place he was just as vulnerable as the rest of us. There are some people like that, you know? The darkest minds tend to hide behind the most unlikely faces. He put on a good leader act, but he wasn't like Lee or Jack. He didn't want to help kids because he believed everyone deserved to feel strong and protect themselves. Clancy was only ever thinking of himself. He would never have jumped in front of another person, and he would never have taken a bullet.
At that, I sat up. I thought Jack was shot escaping.
Chubbs shook his head. Jack was shot protecting me, and he protected me because...
He took a deep breath.
Because he thought I couldn't protect myself. He didn't realize how much he had taught me.
I'm so sorry, I said, feeling tears prick at the back of my eyes. For everything.
Me too, he said after a minute. And I didn't need to look back to know that he was crying too.
The laptop was stored in the top drawer of his desk, the note taped to the top of it glaringly yellow.